Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we gather before you, prepare our hearts to meet you. Prepare our hearts to listen to you. We commit ourselves before you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is my third time to come to Calvary. The first time I come, I ask you one question: who are you? The second time I come, I ask you not only who, but I also ask what. What if we remember how Paul was converted? He said, "Who are you, Lord? And what do you want me to do?" So, who and what? It is important for us to know who you are. Sometimes I feel I'm so insignificant, like a grain of sand on a beach. I'm nothing. Nobody knows me. If I pick up a key and I say, "What does this key? What is the meaning of this key?" No one can tell me what is the purpose until the owner. If this key belongs to me, I can tell this key opens my door, so that I can go into my house and enjoy myself. So this key finds its owner, and then this key has a purpose. Similarly, young guys like you must know your Creator. And then you can ask, why am I here on earth? And only the Creator can tell you what He wants you to do. So this is my third time I'm going to build up on what I've shared. This time I'm going to ask again, who? But this time I focus on who may dwell with God. Why is this question important? So we know our God has wisdom. When He created the heaven and earth, there is something in His heart. He wants to achieve something. Just like you want to build a model, just like you want to build a house, there's something already in your mind. I want to build a house, therefore I get all the materials, and then step by step I build a house. Similarly, when God created heaven and earth, there's something in His heart. And what is that purpose of God? So if you look at the Bible, if you just look at the first two chapters, talk about creation. God created heaven and earth, all the creatures, including man. And what would be the end? What is the ultimate thing God wants? If we look at the last two chapters, we can see a verse. The eternal purpose of God. So, if I want to know, what do you want me to do, Lord? Oh, I want to build a house. I want you to be a carpenter. I want you to be a plumber for me. So we must know what God wants to do, and then we can know our role to fit into that purpose. So that makes your life worthwhile on earth. Okay? So in the book of Revelation 21 verse 3, it's in the end. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them." This is what in the heart of God. He wants to dwell with men. And they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. So throughout history, including today, God is step by step going to achieve that. He wants all of us to dwell with Him in the end. This is the ultimate end. But we must ask, so what's the difference between Adam and the man who dwell with God? God has, throughout history, God has prepared a lot of things. God has to deal with man. God has to change you to someone that He can dwell with Him. So in Psalm 15, verse 1, "O Lord, who shall sojourn," that means dwell with God, "in your tent, in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell on your holy hill?" So there comes a problem. Yeah, God wants man to live with Him, but who can dwell with God? If I'm someone who like a clean it, I like people to be clean. If you are a dirty person, you want to live with me, I'm not happy with that. If I want quiet, if you want loud music to dwell with me, oh, I can't stand you. So who can dwell with a holy God? What kind of man God wants? Similarly, God wants to change you, every one of you, throughout your life, into someone He wants to dwell with. So this is the purpose of history, because God is doing something in you and me. God can create a man like a flower. I like that. Okay, he can't move. Like, why would God create a man like that? He can be a plant-like creature, isn't it? But God created man, he wants man to move, can think. But this man, can he be a sinner? Can he be a murderer? Does God want to dwell with a murderer? A cruel man? A sinner? So what kind of man God wants? So now, can you tell me what is the most important feature of man? If you created a car, if you want to make a car, the first thing you want, the car can move, isn't it? You can sit in the car can bring you to anywhere you like. If you were God, if I may say so, when you created man, what is the first feature you want him to have? Can you think of anything? Can you think of anything? Man can run, man can draw, man can sing. What would be the most important feature? Jessica, can you tell me? Anything you can think of? Being a man must be able to live. So every man can breathe and sleep. Does that enough? Is that enough? Man can breathe, live, is that enough? Tim, what do you think? The most important feature of a man is he can think. Good. There are many thinkers here, but they can think of bad things, isn't it? I'm not happy. Help me. What other features a man can have? Peter, if you were God, you want to create a man, he can live, he can breathe, he can think, and what else you want him to have?
Okay.
Sorry. Okay, Caleb, you can say. Listen to his commands. That's better. But robot can listen to his command. So the first commandment, listen to me. Is it the most important commandment? What would that be? Eva, the greatest commandment, what is that? Can you remember? Can anyone help her? Greatest commandment? Someone asked Jesus. God wants man to love him. Okay? Why would I say so? Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart. So God gives you a heart that can be pumping, living. You can run, you can think. But use all your heart, your soul, and your body, all your mind to love him. So when God created, he doesn't create a plant. He doesn't create a robot. He created man so that man can love him. So when he created Adam, Adam is a man who can choose. It's important that he can choose. Then God said, let us make man in our image. So in the like our likeness, so men were created in God's image and likeness. So can you create it with, so can you communicate very well with an ant? You can't, because the ant, he can't see you. You are in different scale. So when, but I can communicate with you because you can see my eye, I can see your eyes, you can listen to me, I can talk to you, I can give you high five, because we are very similar. We can communicate. So when God created man, man is very similar to God, created man in our image and likeness. and let them have dominion. So God gave man authority. God doesn't want man to be a slave. Oh, I can't do anything. God gives man dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds, and over the livestock. Do you think man is a fool, an idiot? Can an idiot do that? No, he must be pretty wise, isn't it? When you can have dominion, you can tell the fish, don't go there. You can stop the bird, come down. You can give orders to them, isn't it? Every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Okay? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And then what? And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish. And the... So you can see God gave them wisdom. God gave them power. God gave them blessing. God gave them everything they need. And everything living thing that moves on earth, and God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seeds in its fruit, you shall have them for food. God gives them plenty. Imagine you go to a buffet. Everything laid before you. Different taste. Pineapple, passion fruit, oranges, apples, all kinds. God is God of variety. Try to satisfy you so you can admire God. Wow, my God is so wonderful. He can create all this. Why? So that you can, oh my God is good. I love him. God didn't say that. Eat this and love me. No. See, all kinds of fruit, all kinds of tree, all kinds of fruit. We can admire his wisdom. Wow, my God is great. He is wonderful. Now, God didn't say, love me. Clearly, God doesn't mention love me. But in this creation, you can see how God treated Adam. So good. Everything he needs. And to every beast, so 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning in the sixth day. So I want you to see God created, give man everything he needs. But there is one thing. He has to do. A man who can choose. He has to choose to obey God. And God says something to him. You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. So God warned him, don't eat from that tree. Then God said, it is not good for that man to should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. So God created, God made woman out of man to satisfy him as well. But I want you to pay attention. God gave him everything. But why does God give him that tree of knowledge of good and evil? We may challenge. God, you say Adam love you. How can you know? Why do you say Adam love you? So, in order to prove, Adam can prove to God, how can Adam prove he loved God? By not picking that tree, the fruits from that tree. So that is not a trap set by God, hoping Adam to fail. He is not trying to tempt Adam to fail. He is giving Adam a chance to prove his love to him. So we should be thankful for God to put that tree there. Without that tree, Adam can no way to prove, God, I love you. Do anything you like. Do anything I like. But how can I show that I don't want to be with you? Oh, so God provided Adam, if you don't want to be with me, you rather die. You want to leave me. There is a door open for you. Eat that tree and you will die. And you will leave my presence. Say, I can say, oh, you guys stay here. You guys must love to listen to me. But there's no door you can leave. You can't leave this room. But when I open the door, who wants to stay with me? Stay. Who wants to leave? Leave. Then, oh, there's a door. Everyone rush out. then I can know. So that door, that opening, shows me that you want to stay or go. You see what I mean? So this is grace indeed. If God did not put that tree there, man has no way to tell God, I love you. So we skip to the next. But what happened next, we know. The serpent, the temptation comes. Satan came to the woman. You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, now he put some seed, lies. God say, you will die. The serpent said, you will not surely die. He put questions in your heart. And then God knows that. Now he is trying to accuse God to be selfish. God doesn't want you to be like him. God doesn't want you to be smart. God is selfish. You have to do something for yourself. So you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You have to rely on God. No, eat that tree. You can be independent. You don't have to listen to God anymore. So this is the trick. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to her eyes, and the tree was to be desired to make one wise. Now she's getting proud. If she wants to be wise, away from God, I don't have to rely on God. I don't have to ask you anymore. I can do everything I like. Now this is the seed. This is the fruit in sinners. You may have that feeling as well. I want to do whatever I want. Stay out of my way, God. I want to go my way, own way. This is the way of the sinner. A man who chooses himself over God. God is no longer important. I can live by myself. I can go my own way. I don't care about your eternal purpose. I have my purpose. I want to have fun. I want to enjoy life. Stay out of my life, God. This is sinner's life. And if you like that, you won't want to dwell with God. This is the life of sinner who put himself before God. So the woman took the fruit, ate, and gave to her husband, and who was with her, and he ate. So this is the first man and woman. We are his, Adam's descendants. So this thing, this gene, self-centered gene, is in us. We always care for ourselves. Why do people fight? Why do people argue? Why do people cheat? Why do people lie? All about yourself. You want to continue to live a life like this? Or do we have another choice? Now the Bible comes to another man, Abel. Actually, I'm going to talk about the four men in Genesis today. So we see in Adam how he failed because he chose himself before God. Now we see in the second man. The second man, Abel, a man who relied on the land. What does it mean? So in Genesis chapter 4, it mentioned, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. So our first parents give birth to Cain and Abel. I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. So these two brothers, Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a worker of the ground. Now this is chapter 4. In chapter 3, when we mention about how Adam failed, the ground was cursed. And Cain, look at here, a worker of the ground. He tilled the ground. In the course of the time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. Now, the question is, God is pleased with the Lord has regard for Abel. Why not Cain? Cain has done a great job offering of the fruit of the ground. Why does God pay more attention to Abel, like Abel more than Cain? Now, the thing is, Cain The ground is cursed because of man's sin. But in Kingsmark, if I put my hard work there, I can bring out something good from the cursed ground. And I can bring out something good before the Lord. What does it mean? That means my effort can change, even though the Lord said, it's no good. No, I can change it into something good. For example, if I got some stinky chicken, give it to you, and you say, okay, it's stinky, but I can do some miracles. You put more herbs, cover the stinky, and it smells good, you burn it. I don't realize it's uncooked, I don't realize there are germs. You bring it to me, see, it smells good, Lord. Paul, eat this. The chicken smells so good. But the chicken has gone bad already. So when I say it's bad, you put some spice on, try to make it good and bring it before me and say, this is nice, have it. So I would say, what Cain has done is saying, God, you say it's bad? No, I can make something good out of it by my effort. Look, by my effort, I can please you. But Abel was not. Abel was offering the sheep. So what does it mean? Because after man's sin, God slaughtered an animal, used their skin to cover man, to cover their sin, in another way of speaking. That means a death of an animal can cover your sin. So this is God's way. Cain, I use my way to reach out to God. Abel, I can't do anything. I have to rely on the death of the lamb in order to approach God. So this applies today. Are you coming before God by your own goodness, by your own effort, or are you coming before the Lord by the blood of the Lamb, that is by the sacrifice of Christ? Whenever you come before the Lord today, Lord, I read Bible this week. Lord, I'm good. I'm being nice whole week. You come to God because of your good. Lord, see how good I am? No, not your good. You can come before God. But by the blood of the Lamb, by the Christ, Lord, I can come before you. So this is a picture of man who rely on Christ when men come before God. Now, so this is the second picture God is telling us. Man sinned. Man go his own way. But if you rely on Christ, man can come back to God. You see the picture God is telling us? Yes, we were sinners. And we are still sinning, maybe. But because of the blood of the Christ, man can now approach God. This is the message here. Now let's see the third picture. Enoch, a man who walked with God. Let's see. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. So, what can we learn from here? Just now we remembered God won. Now, we are building the picture one by one. Okay? The first picture is God wants man to love him. God wants man to choose him. But man failed. But we can choose Christ. Not by your own effort. By relying on the blood of the Lamb, we can come before him. We are getting closer to God, isn't it? As we're getting closer to God, we can walk with God. What does walk with God concern? If let's have a walk outside. So when we walk outside, what does it mean when you walk with someone? Now people, when they think about religion, when you come to worship God on Sunday, you come, sit, listen, and you go. Gradually, people say, oh, religion is Sunday. I go to the church, listen to the sermon, and then live my own life. Religion is doing something on a certain time. So there are some people called Sunday Christians, nominal Christians. From Monday to Saturday, I live a different life, and God is not involved. I do things whenever I like. I go to places wherever I like. Nothing to do with God. But when you walk with God, it's a relationship. When you walk with someone, he talks with you. You have different heart. I want to go there, you want to go there. Okay, bye-bye, I'll see you. So if we don't have the same goal or same purpose, if you hate me, you won't walk with me. When Enoch walked with God, in a way, he was drawn to God. He loved God. He loved his presence. He loved to talk with him. Not only for Sunday, 1 hour, but Monday, Saturday, every day, every time. So when you walk to school, can you say, I walk with God? I remember when I was in my uni, when I was walking to have lectures, I have to walk past a field, a grassland. So when I walk, then I think of some hymns. Then I swing my hand and sing along the way. And the sister was on the bus. He said, hey, Paul, I saw you swinging your hands when you're walking past the field. I don't expect anyone to see me, but because I when I was singing, I'm thinking of God himself. He walks with me when I walk to school. So every morning when you walk, try not to walk alone. Talk to him. Speak to God. And he will be listening to you. Enjoy his presence. You walk, you sit, you lie down, he is with you. Remember when Jesus first called his disciples, what did he say to the disciples? Did he say, attend church on Sunday? Read Bible every day. Did Jesus tell when he called the disciples? Sing hymns. Did he say that? What did he say? Lyndon, can you remember? Jesus walked and see John or Andrew or Peter, Andrew. What did he tell them? Can you remember? No? Follow me. And he said to them, follow me. Not doing a great job. Not doing something. Not reading Bible. Not attending Sunday meeting. Follow me. 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 Why are you here? Oh, my mom brought me here. I was forced to come here. I got nothing else to do. I'm bored. Where is the me you are following? Jesus said, follow me. A relationship. When you come here, are you looking for the relationship with God? When God created heaven and earth, he wants a relationship with man. Give him the power, give him the freedom, give him the food, give him everything. But you can choose. You can choose to love him. You can choose to follow him. enjoy His presence. I want to know God, not because someone forced me to read Bible. I want to know about Him. He is the reason why I'm here. He is the reason why I'm sitting here. Follow me speaks of Jesus wanting people not just dwell with Him. Be with me. Of course, He will change you, your life. You won't be the same. You won't be an architect or accountant or doctor. It's not here. I will make you fishers of men. You can have some part-time job as an accountant. You can have a part-time job as an architect. That's not our main purpose on earth. Our main purpose is to be fishers of men, bringing men to God. This is what God wants. Remember, God wants to dwell among men. So when God finds you, you will be someone to draw other people to God Himself as well, isn't it? Okay, the fourth person I'm going to talk in the book of Genesis is Noah. A man who abided in the ark. But Noah found favor in the eyes of God, and God saw the earth. Behold, it was corrupt, and all the flesh has corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. So man without God, corrupting. Corrupting. Think about your life. If there's no God, you are still on that way, corrupting. Your mind corrupted by this world. Your feelings, your love corrupted by this world. Your whole life will be wasted, corrupt. All flesh has corrupted their way on the earth. So is there any escape? Yes. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end. God will judge one day. I want to tell you, God will judge one day. For the earth is filled with violence. I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. So, he was asked to make this. How about in New Testament? Can we find something similar? Jesus said, if you abide in me, abide, not just walk. Walk is good, but it's still two persons. We may walk the same way, but I may think of something else. You may think of two people can walk together, but in their hearts they think differently. Remember, the disciples walked with Lord Jesus. But some of them say, who is going to be the great? They are fighting for a position. So people may follow the Lord, but for different motivation. Some may look for power. Some may look for blessing. So people can follow the Lord. Even Judas, he followed the Lord Jesus himself, isn't it? So why are you here? Is it because of love? Why do you follow the Lord? So in here, it goes deeper. If you abide in me. Imagine Noah was in the ark all the time. He slept in the ark. He lived his life in the ark. All the time in the ark. And what does that ark represent? That ark represents Jesus Christ himself. Those who are outside the ark will be judged. Those who his life is in the ark will be, their lives will be preserved. So those who are in Christ, our lives are preserved. So that Christ, that ark is our Lord Jesus Christ. So In the past, God said to Noah, go into the ark. But in New Testament, Jesus said to his disciples, abide in me. Not just following me outside. It speaks of a deeper union in harmony when you abide. You can walk with me for an hour and then I say goodbye, I go home. You may not want to stay with me all the time. Oh, when you're at home, you have all the bad habits. Oh, you snore too much. I can't stand your snoring, my wife said to me. Oh, you're snoring too much. So when you live with somebody, when you abide with somebody all the time, it speaks of a deeper union. I accept you. Your weakness, I accept you. You may not dare to tell me your weakness. You may appear very good, but there are some secret sin in you. You don't want anyone to know. But when the Lord says, abide in me, he inviting us. He knows you. He knows everything about you. He wants a deeper union. You know, if there are foreign objects in your body, if I put something foreign in my body will reject it. Something can go into my body unless it is part of me. So when the Lord asks us to abide in Him, we must have a deeper union, same love, same hate. So maybe in your faith, in your family, your whole family doesn't like something, and the whole family doesn't like some kind of food, maybe. The same family share the same taste. Okay? So when we abide together, that means a deeper union. We share the same love, we share the same hate, we have the same goal, we have the same joy together. So this abide speaks of a deeper union. So looking back what I shared about four men. Looking back about what I shared in the beginning, that God has an eternal purpose. He wants to dwell with men. He wants men to love Him. He wants men to choose to love Him. But Adam failed. So He wants, how can we choose to come back to Him? By relying on the blood of the Lamb, we can come back to Him. We can walk with Him, getting closer. Not just walking, not just following. We can abide in Him, getting closer. You see, this is the heart of God. This is the heart of God opening to tell you and me. He wants man to come back to Him. He is waving to you. Come back to me. Follow me. Abide in me. I want to dwell with you in eternity. I want to change your life. We share the same love. We share the same joy. This is the hand of God. He is going to work in your life. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. Even man failed you, but you haven't changed your purpose. You still love us. You still open a way that we can come back to you by the blood of the Lamb. You want us to follow you. You want us to abide in you. You want to change our life to be like Christ. We thank you, God. We ask that you continue to work in our life. Do this in our life. Change us, Lord. We commit everyone before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I give you a homework. If anyone has read through the book of Genesis, put up your hand. Genesis. No one read through Genesis. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Genesis. The first book in the Bible. Okay. Now, if you can, go home, read through the whole Genesis. 50 chapters only. 50. Okay. Because next week, I'm going to talk about the rest. There are 8 men in the book of Genesis I want to talk about. I talk about 4 today. So the next 4, I'm going to do it next week. I will come back again. So do your homework. May God bless you. Thank you.